Happy Friday. I'm Joel of Heart City Church, and welcome to Happy and Whole in Him, where this week we've been discovering glory in the ordinary. Glory in the ordinary. Yesterday we ended our discussion with our need for childlike faith even as we get older, in order to take in how ordinary bread and wine become portals to heaven, where we taste the glory to come. Childlike faith is to be desired, but not childlike thinking. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:20, "Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regards to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults." In his book, The Juvenilization of American Christianity, Thomas Bergler writes about how adolescent spirituality set churches on a trend towards novelty. It began over a century ago when the YMCA successfully began programs to help troubled youths, which in turn led to churches forming youth groups, programs dedicated to teenagers. By the way, you do know that teenagers didn't exist until recently? What do you mean, Joel? What I mean is that the word didn't exist until it showed up in a 1941 Reader's Digest magazine, because there wasn't a demographic of people who were not children but also not adults. The transition from being children to adulthood was almost immediate. When child labor laws and mandatory high school education happened, teenagers became this new group society didn't have high expectations for, beyond maybe getting good grades and a part-time job. Worse, they were no longer sitting in the church service learning the faith of their parents. A child could go from children's church to youth group and maybe then to a college fellowship and never once experience church membership, never once experience the intergenerational faith. See why so many churches have traditional and contemporary services? Some churches simply rather just began to look to create worship appealing to generations who were not uprooted, but had never established roots in the first place. All they knew was the faith as articulated or seen through the lens of the culture of their day. And then he asked, "Do you remember being a teenager? Wanting to change the world, live in the moment, do exciting things, how you're in love with novelty, and fearing that you would not change the world and just end up being ordinary. These are normal things for a teenager." I remember when I was a youth pastor, reading with my teenagers a book called Do Hard Things, A Teenage Rebellion Against Low Expectations by twin brothers Alex and Brett Harris. The Harrises rightly saw the belief that they could not, that there was this idea that they could not do great things for God, so they wanted to start a movement, a revolution. The problem is that movements are by nature opposed to institutions, and with each generation we could see this greater displacement from the church. Or the new churches that popped up tend to have members who are childlike in their thinking because they've grown up disconnected from the bigger story. But God wants His people, young and old, to be connected to a bigger story. The story of their fathers, passing on the ordinary routines that provide a sense of belonging to something bigger. Each generation was not living for their own novelties, but they're always building upon the same faith. This is why the creeds were written, because the early church fathers knew we were always a generation away from heresy. And the church is not a new institution that developed after the New Testament time. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6 was the creed Israel confessed. "Hear, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might." And at the end of Deuteronomy 6, again, there is this expectation that the children will ask questions, and the parents were to be ready to tell them. What would they say? "We were slaves in Egypt once, but with His mighty arm God saved us." Even though these children and even the parents were never in Egypt, they were given a confession to believe. Jewish remembering confesses that what God did for our people 1,000 years ago, He did for us. And you see this over and over in the Bible. Every Jew confessed that this was their story. They confessed that the God who acted in history back then was the same God for them today. To believe was to belong. To confess and believe was to be identified with God's people. This was mature thinking. The elders pass on the tradition, And the youth question the traditions, which is actually a help to keep the church from curving in on itself. And then the youth, with their zeal, add something to the story. I remember after finishing the Harris's book, Do Hard Things, I was disappointed because chapter after chapter gave examples of teenagers who had impacted the world in huge ways. And at the end of the book, I looked at this group of youths, most of who were going to be ordinary, not impact the world and be written about. And I wanted them to be all right with that. Well, it turns out that the Harris twins had discovered the same thing, and I was able to share that. The one twin was still living in the public limelight, leading the movement. The other was not, because his wife had contracted Lyme disease, and he was now a stay-at-home husband, caring for his wife 24/7. I told the kids that you don't have to be in the limelight to do hard things. Ordinary things, nonetheless, make it into God's story. So let's learn from this example and do the hard thing of reversing the current trend. Let's revisit the bigger story that I believe reached its climax in a real sense when 12-year-old Jesus went to the temple and asked questions of his elders. And let's pray and take up Jesus' leading. Let's remember who we are and who we belong to.